Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Mr. Worldwide to infinity, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. The Netherlands and Argentina face off again, and Luis Enrique is unemployed. It's Friday 9th of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm David College.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Bloody Nora, it's Friday. With all this World Cup action, I've just lost all track of time and days.
Mm.
David, are you looking forward to the weekend?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've also enjoyed my rest as well. It's been nice having like a little break.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. It feels like the weekend has been like the last couple of days.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said for not football when there is this volume of it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because we just sort of... It's a bit like being a kid at Halloween or something like that, where you think just more sweets, more. But you have to have a break.
It's nice to have an opportunity to shower, isn't it? As well.
Looks like I won the bet, Jim. Thought we were going to go the whole tournament, but there we are. Chaps, Netherlands versus Argentina.
A classic.
Is upon us. And we're starting with that because of the nature of the classicism involved, Jim Campbell. They have got previous in this tournament. It's a repeat of the semi-final, of course, from the 2014 World Cup in Brazil, when Argentina knocked the Netherlands out on penalties. And of course, King Louis van Gaal was in charge at that time. Van Gaal never forgets, David. He said, we still have a score to settle. I don't like to think about it because I thought we would win. Do you remember much about that game?
Yeah, I do, actually. I remember quite a bit.
No bloody goals.
it's just another bit dead game. It was like a classic Van Gaal dead rubber, you know.
Well, do you expect a goal or two in this one? I mean, surely Friday night he's not going to let us down like England and the US did.
He might.
He won't care. Exactly. I suppose.
You can just see him. I ruined the World Cup.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
But I'm taking it home.
I'm going to smelt it down.
Yeah. I find this one quite tricky to call. There was a poll on our very own Football Ramble Twitter feed with all four quarterfinals. And the one that seemed the tightest to call was England versus France. And then, of course, it was this one, which I don't think is that surprising. But going into this game, it is a fascinating encounter. And I think because of the way Argentina and their sort of emotional momentum, if you like, and Lionel Messi scoring some lovely goals, one is immediately tempted to think, well, surely there's a sense of destiny. But the way the Netherlands, they were better against the US, a little bit more systematic, and scored some lovely goal. In particular, that one, was it Daley Blint who finished off that great move? Yeah. What are your thoughts, David?
It's a real clash of styles. I think you've got the individual brilliance of Argentina and the players who can turn it on a screw for them. Di Maria, Messi, of course. And I think there's a few others who have stepped up for them. But also... Oh,
sorry, just adjusting my mic there. Behind the scenes.
And then you've got the team unit of the Dutch, who, you know, you look at the job they did against the US as well. There was a lot of very specific duties that each individual had, but it was always a focus on the team unit. And particularly like the Van Gaal's choice to put a man-to-man marking job on Tyler Adams, where all the US player was going through in previous games. So I'm expecting something very similar here. It could be a Davy Klaassen masterclass.
There we go. That's a lovely sentence to utter, isn't it, Jim?
It sure is.
The Dutch players have said that Van Gaal's recovery from cancer, of course, which happened sort of fairly recently, and he didn't tell them that he had cancer, so it's had a massive galvanising effect on them and brought the squad together. There seems to be great harmony in the team. Now, we've said that a number of teams, England and France, for example, but the Dutch are very much there. It's not always been the case.
It's really annoying. What you want is the Dutch and the French to implode, to take themselves out of the game, and they're both steadfastly refusing to do that.
Specifically the French at any time now.
Yeah, you know, can they just go and strike on a bus again like we did that time and all just sat there and just like, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, no. That would be great. Oh, too late for kickoff. Bye. And the kind draws continue. We're getting off the topic due to my nonsense. But yes, Jim, the Dutch players have said that. And at the moment, you know, the Dutch media have been very critical of Van Gaal and the style, basically because he doesn't play a 4-3-3.
Yeah,
because we know the Dutch like to play the West Ham way.
Almost treasonous, isn't it?
but they love their history of so on, and they expect to play a certain way. Mm. But he often, I mean, he loves a wing back. Does Van Gaal? That's where they find the width, and they've had Depay and Gakpo up front.
They've got some real, real quality there. They've got the opportunity to hurt Argentina, I think. But going back to the sort of team spirit thing, I think in modern football, we are really seeing how important this is now. I'm sure it's always been important, obviously, but we see more behind the scenes than we've ever seen before with football now. Yeah. And obviously those things, when they start to become public knowledge, just kind of feed into the game a bit more. And it seems like everyone has got this kind of Southgate-style attention to detail in terms of bringing kind of squad harmony. And that isn't something you would expect of Louis van Gaal, is it?
No.
And you expect van Gaal to essentially not change his spots and to kind of be the sort of quite arch-disciplinarian that we've seen him be in the past. But it's interesting that he's kind of evolving that style a little bit to bring these players together.
Sure, but I mean, life experiences affect us all. And that experience with cancer, I mean, I think he's obviously been doing that. I don't think he's suddenly had a huge change in approach with the Dutch side, but that has had an effect, there's no doubt about that. But if you think about back into the mid-90s when he brought that young Ajax squad together, of course largely Dutch players who would go on to have very good international careers and whatnot, and so we have seen him do this before. And then of course when he's managed abroad a bit, and we remember at Bayern with his getting his bollocks out and all that kind of stuff, you know, he became at times a caricature of himself, which he sort of is as well at the moment.
Which is fine, though, because he doesn't care, does he? No.
Yeah, but
he both does and doesn't take himself seriously.
He's too old, too wise, too long in the tooth now to really give a shit what the press think of him. Yeah. And you can already see his demeanour towards some press as well, who too try to trip him up.
Yeah.
He always, you know, goes at them. There was a famous press conference he did when he was at Barcelona, and there was a guy constantly deriding his football at Barcelona. And he shouted, "Siempre negativo, siempre negativo." Basically, you're always negative. Yeah. And he's always had that, you know, character about him, I think.
Yeah, true enough. Well, Angel Di Maria, of course, playing for Argentina, said this about Louis van Gaal, because Van Gaal and Di Maria were at Manchester United at the same time. And he said, "The board knew that my problem was with Van Gaal. We won 3-0 and I made a goal and assist. And the next day he would call me to show me videos of every pass I failed. Worst manager of my career." Get a load of that. Yeah. As if this fixture needed any more spice. It spoke
as if he was tweeting.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And one of our lovely listeners called Nabil pointed out to us that Van Gaal responded to these comments, saying he's one of the few players with this opinion. I'm really sorry about this, and I find it sad that he said this. Memphis has had to deal with it too at Manchester, and now we kiss each other on the mouth. I think Di Maria's dodged a bullet there. No,
I think, honestly, I know it's a funny quote and everything, but it is a great example. Look at the maturing of Memphis. He's the leader in this squad now. If you told somebody about 4 or 5 years ago, oh, Memphis Depay is going to be leading the Dutch squad, he's going to be the most mature character for a World Cup squad.
43 goals and 85 caps.
They'd laugh impressive. You out the room, but he is. He's one of the most reasonable, rational people there. And he's guiding the young players now, and that wouldn't be possible, I don't think, without the guidance of Van Gaal.
Yeah, I don't think you can underestimate his influence and also how he will plan for this game as well. And of course, a lot of the attention will be on Lionel Messi. And Virgil van Dijk, when asked about Messi, said the difficult thing about Messi is when we are attacking, he is chilling somewhere in a corner or something. And Van Gaal said something similar as well about little Lionel, saying when they lose the ball, he doesn't participate much. That is where our chances lie.
Yeah, I mean, but that is, it's a fairly common thing of players when they get older, isn't that they conserve energy more. And the thing that we've been hearing a lot about Messi is that he's actually just essentially watching, analysing, and looking for weaknesses in the shape of and setups of the team. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, you know, in the Guardian they said that in Argentina's three group games, Messi covered 14,361 metres at walking pace, which is more than any other player in the tournament, presumably at walking pace, of course. I mean, what do you think of this, David? Because we've seen Messi do this and, of course, just gets that moment and then slots it into the corner.
And that's all he needs, because I think what Argentina have done and what they always need to do is when you're crafting the team, you need to make sure you have the right parts around him. I think particularly at this tournament, they found Brighton's own Alexis McAllister, who I think outside of Messi has been their best player. Mm-hmm. He has been absolutely fantastic. And he has kind of taken advantage of the attention that is on Messi when he is just lying about in one of these corners.
They can all do that.
They've finally figured this out, though, haven't they? But this used to be a problem for them. The opposite was true. I remember Pablo Dybala talking about how he felt that he always had to look for Messi, and a lot of players felt the same. Like, perhaps actually the fact that Messi has to sort of take it a bit easier now enables that, or maybe it's a change in mindset where they've managed to use that as a strength. But it seems they seem, and Messi seems different from previous tournaments, because in which that pressure has seemed to, you can almost physically see it.
But
on
do you think
Messi.
That's because they won the Copa America? They finally won a trophy.
Yeah, it probably is.
You know, it helps. It's a big mental block to work to take away. And also, I just think they've got the right parts around him as well, who can actually execute what has always been required. And they've had many fantastic individuals. People used to say, "Oh, this is the dream Argentina team," and they've played together and just simply hasn't worked. Just because you've had a mesh of, you know, 5-6 brilliant individuals, it doesn't mean it's going to work. You need to get the actual balance and dynamic right.
When you say McAllister, I do quite like this. The RTE television in Ireland screened an interview this week with Alexis McAllister's Irish cousins before the Argentine-Australia game. Right. I love the Irish diaspora. It's an intriguing thing, of course, and the Irish will always find out where it began. Yeah. And
there will one day be an Irish pub on the moon, and it will be magnificent.
Well, they tracked them down a few days ago. They spoke to an elderly gentleman called Dickie, which is what Dickie McAllister, who is a relative. Apparently, they also spoke to Noel McAllister. Presumably, that was quite an obvious one to to pick. He said the ancestors came over with many other Irish people, of course, in the 1860s. Perhaps the whole of Ireland are behind Argentina. We shall see. Speaking of Messi, though, obviously he's been at the centre of it all. But Van Dijk was also very complimentary of Julian Alvarez, the Manchester City player. And he has provided, you know, in the same way we saw with Portugal, with Ramos up front, it kind of helped some of their better players behind him playing a bit deeper, you know, have a runner doing a lot of the running and so on. Not too dissimilar. He seems to provide a lot of legs for Messi, and Messi seems to love playing with him.
He's just a really vibrant player. He doesn't stop moving, and this is always key, I think, in that system. I noticed they had a lot of problems. So Di Maria obviously dropped out last game, and they really, really lacked width when Papu Gomez played there. Mm. But when Julian Alvarez came in, it changed the dynamic. His movement, his running is brilliant. You need to have options ahead. Messi and Enzo Fernandez are always playing deep. They're always scanning who's ahead of us.
But will Enzo Fernandez start?
I think he's going to start. I think since they've brought him in the team, they've played a lot better. I think he's been a big factor as well. And funnily enough, him and Alvarez came up together through River Plate.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I mean, Alvarez is a he's a really cold finisher as well. Yes. Like properly dead-eyed. And I think that's helpful as well, because he's more than just a foil for Messi. He's a massive, massive problem in his own right. And yep. I think teams have struggled with that since he's come into the team. And like Martinez has really, really fluffed his lines at this World Cup. It's interesting like how much better they look with Alvarez in the team. And actually, I think Argentina's journey has been so interesting, like the crisis that it started with and how they've actually kind of found the team that works on that journey. We're getting to the point now. Obviously, this kind of always happens in the quarterfinals, but teams are starting to face, by its very nature, the best teams they have played in the World Cup. So you're really going to see what both of these teams are made of. I can't call this one at all. Well, I really have no idea where this is going to go.
You can make an argument for most of the teams in the quarterfinals, certainly with England and France, but you can make an argument with these two that they haven't faced that much.
Mm, absolutely.
Now, I know the Dutch looked a little bit shaky against Ecuador and they weren't brilliant against Senegal.
But nobody won every game, right?
No.
So a lot of the time you have to put that... Same in the England game, really. And I think we're all perhaps guilty of a little bit of an overreaction to that, as is the way, and has happened before and will probably happen again. But there is an element of managing the group that you can sort of disregard now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the support will be in Argentina's favour, you'd imagine. Of course,
yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
It's going to be amazing. 50,000 there. And the rumour is the head of the Argentine FA has basically paid for all the flights and accommodation for all these guys to go out, just so they can really get behind Messi.
Wow.
They can really
get behind. I mean, that's sometimes the case with one or two football associations around the world. I mean, I know Morocco have done something slightly similar with putting on more flights and so on.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating one. But let's hope, though, that Messi doesn't sort of cause a potential... could you call this an international incident? I mean, a politician in Mexico has launched a campaign to ban him from entering the country after, obviously, that goal against Mexico knocked them out of the World Cup. But the politician in question is upset because there is a thinking that Messi used a Mexican shirt to wipe the floor of the dressing room after the game, which is not quite the case. I mean, he sort of seemed to accidentally flick a shirt with his boot when taking it off.
Yeah.
So it's not quite sort of mopping up, going, have some of that, Mexico.
It's an odd platform, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, politics.
What are you going to do? I'm going to ban Messi from coming into the country. What?
Yeah. You do realise
that... But you're going to fix the roads. Shut up.
Get him over here. That's the kind of thing that would... anyway, less said about that, the better. Well, yeah, an interesting one. David, would we have a prediction for you? What do you think? Either way, Jim can't call it, can you?
I think Argentina's going to squeeze it. Extra time job.
Well, chaps, from one outspoken manager to another. Luis Enrique has stepped down as Spain manager. He, of course, led Spain to the semi-final of the Euros and the final of the Nations League, and they were beaten not that long ago, only the other day, by Morocco, and... yeah, he's gone. David, does it surprise you?
Yeah, I think it does in a way, but it's pretty sad, I think. Because I think he's done a lot of good work since he's come in. Yeah. I think he's phased out a lot of older players that people, normal people, and he's not a normal guy, he's a special guy, would have kept around. He phased those out. He brought young players through. I think he gave Spain a new identity as well. They'd very much lost one. And I think in Spain, I think a lot of people have become disconnected with the national team as well. They were pretty much, you know, very focused on club football. They were, you know, they've become grown bored of it, I think. And I think he gave people a, you know, enthusiasm about the national team again. And it's a shame. He's a great character as well. And I'm all for more characters in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he said that the players executed his idea of football perfectly against Morocco.
I think he's being kind.
Well, I think that was a surprise. I was saying the other day on the podcast, if you think about what he did at Barcelona when he took over, of course, you know, bringing them up to speed a little bit more, because they'd had the tiki-taka under Guardiola, and even a great idea like that, you know, begins to get figured out a little bit. It's always going to go far, but, you know, you've got to stay on the kind of cutting edge, if you like. And he'd managed to do that. And I thought he would bring that a little bit more to this Spain side for this tournament, but clearly not.
I think he tried to, but I think he's really protecting his players there. I think they let him down badly, to be honest with you. And I don't think they executed to the level that he wanted. So I think he's just backing them still to the...
There's a lot of youth in that team as well. And I think that's where this protection is coming from, because this is a generation of players who look like they could go on and achieve something special. And there is a sense about Spain that it's become like the way people speak about the Dutch that we were referring to earlier in Louis van Gaal not playing the 4-3-3, and that people say, oh, Spain have got this particular style, they always play in the same way. That's only really been true since 2008. And that's been tweaked quite a lot along the way. But Enrique has managed to keep that style in place in a way that, you know, with a few more years, looks like it could be successful. Yeah. So it's a shame that he's not going to be the one that is there to enable that. I mean, he won a you know, casual little treble at Barcelona that people don't tend to talk about, because Pep Guardiola did it so spectacularly recently before that, but it's a shame. And it's also a huge name to be hovering around club managers when they're in a bit of pressure.
There's quite a few now about Pochettino, Tuchel, Luis Enrique, you know, throwing at that pile. There's some good choice there.
There is indeed. Talking of his retirements, we said this right at the end of the podcast recently. Eden Hazard, of course, announced his retirement from international football on Wednesday. Apparently discussed the decision with his teammates in the immediate aftermath of their draw with Croatia. Presumably all his teammates said, yes, we think you should.
You should probably do that.
Yeah. He seems to have sort of, I don't know, in the last few years, kind of almost sort of fallen out of the game, in love with the game a little bit.
He had a very, very long period out with injury, didn't he?
And that could do it too.
Yeah, of course. At his age... And he's never been like the quickest player either, is he? It was more about the power that magnificent caboose generates that's been what made him so effective.
Low centre of gravity.
I mean, he never struggles for pace, let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
You know, but I could see him getting a big move to, you know, soon to the sort of Middle East or
the
USA. Did China still do that? Yeah, I don't know.
It's a shame because he's a brilliant player. Unbelievable. You know, that couple of years at Chelsea, I thought he was one of the best players in the world.
Oh, he was.
He's gone to Real Madrid. And like you say, I think he's mellowed a bit. He's lost interest in the game. And sometimes people just switch off. He's got his big move. He's got his big pay packet. He's probably just lacking.
Well, there was talk he'd always come back from the breaks overweight. And his attitude was always like, I'm on holiday, I can do what I want. Now I'm back at work, I'll get up to speed. And, you know, some players just approach the game like that, and that's up to them, and that's fair enough. But I think the timing of that injury at Madrid is a shame. It seemed like such a good fit, and it seemed like he could have been just fantastic there.
But I mean, he's achieved a hell of a lot in his career.
Of course, and
I think that some people sometimes realise that, and certainly a long-term injury can do that, but sometimes your desire just sort of wanes a little bit. And if you're at someone like Real Madrid, your desire does wane even just slightly, it will be noticed. You know, in other clubs, if you're at a smaller club, because, you know, pretty much every club on the planet is smaller than Real Madrid, you know, but you can have that where there's a little bit of wiggle room. Whereas if your desire goes even just 5%, you know, sometimes it can be kind of sniffed out, I suppose. But there we are. Chaps, before we go for a break, just wanted to bring in some comments that Nasser Al-Khattar has said in light of a migrant worker who died during the World Cup while performing repairs at the resort used as a training base for the Saudi Arabia squad. Now, according to sources, a Filipino man in his 40s died when he fell from a ramp while operating a forklift truck. He apparently didn't have a safety harness on. Sources say they were surprised that a third worker wasn't present to assist, which would usually be the case for this work. And that man, Nasser Al-Khattar, who's the CEO of the Supreme Committee, responded to the BBC in quite astonishing fashion. He said, "We're having a successful World Cup, and this is something you want to talk about right now. Death is a natural part of life, whether at work, whether in your sleep. A worker died. Our condolences to the family, but strange, it is something you want to focus on as your first question." I suppose astonishing doesn't really get close to it, Jim.
No, just what an absolute failure of a character this person is. Just abhorrent. Absolutely awful.
Yeah, I mean, to say that when it's a natural part of life, whether at work, I mean, it doesn't seem natural if you fall off something. Do you know what I mean?
No, not at all. It's just an inability, I think, to ascertain the level of anger or, you know, disregard that, you know, that we have for it. The critics have for it. They don't understand the level of criticism that's been, you know, that's been lobbied at them.
They don't understand the criticism at all. I mean, we've been talking about this for years now in the making of this World Cup. You know, some are reporting that there have been thousands of deaths. And that is the point. This is nothing to do with people not wanting the World Cup in an Arab or Muslim country. This is nothing to do with you know, people hating on Qatar just because it happens to be Qatar. This is scrutiny of thousands of people reportedly dying, fit, healthy young men dying, and now this has happened as well. It is very, very avoidable. And when the tournament happens and you get people saying, actually, do you know what? It's all running quite smoothly over here. The stadiums are amazing. Well, they've spent over $200 billion. Mm. You'd expect something in return, would you not? And then Infantino saying, oh, it's been the best group stages ever. Suddenly, the you know, this guy, CEO of the Supreme Committee, of course, and others who are in similar positions in Qatar suddenly go, oh, great, we can stop focusing on all those deaths now. Yeah. We focus on the football.
What a brilliant job we've done with the football. It's like the footballers and the management staff have done a really good job with the football.
Yes, exactly.
You can't have the credit for that.
I just find it ridiculous. And this whole business of deflecting, going, but what about European colonialism? Yeah, we all know that was bad.
Mm.
No one's saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, but the trains are running smoothly and so on. Yeah, great. But this, we're talking specifically about this. Yeah. We're not having a go at your culture. We're not having a go at anything. We are talking about the treatment of migrant workers, people. we're talking about the work, the treatment of people, and it is absolutely astonishing. Yeah, and of course, you know, when Kate Mason did a great job when she did a documentary of us on the Ramble, you know, Inside the World Cup, episode one, of course, came out before the tournament. So if you want to know more about that, I'll give that a listen as well. Right, let's have a quick break.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Major problems with it. From me, looking at that video, that cat hadn't done anything wrong.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, it's now time for Betfair's popular Bet Builder. When you Betfair on the World Cup, you can use Betfair's handy app to place your Bet Builders, and you'll get access to some pretty decent handouts too. Every week through this season, we've been placing our own Ramble popular Bet Builder on football's biggest matches, and this weekend is no exception. Things are getting spicy now at the World Cup. It's the quarterfinals, and there's only one game we could pick for today's popular Bet Builder. It's England versus France on Saturday. David, you're up first. What are you going for?
I'm going for both teams to score. I think both teams have got defences that can be picked at, and ultimately they've both got excellent attacks. You know, Mbappe, Kane, you know, there's going to be goals in this one.
All right, Jim, what about you?
I've gone pretty route one. I've gone for Kylian Mbappe to score at any time because they wouldn't let me have the sun coming up. And it feels as inevitable, doesn't it?
Yeah, fair enough. Our very own Luke Moore had this to say.
Hi, everyone. My Betfair selection for the France-England game is there to be a sending off in the game. I think it's a bit of a pick-em, a bit of a 50-50 coin flip of a game. I think tensions will run high. I think they could boil over. And I think the referee might have to make the difficult decision to send someone off. So my selection is a red card in that game.
A red card. England haven't got any cards so far on the tournament.
Who do you think it gets sent off? Yeah, who do you think it gets sent off? If anybody got sent off in that game, who do you think it gets sent off?
One of the fullbacks for France can't keep up with Saka.
Oh.
Let's hope so. My pick is England to win in 90 minutes.
Ooh.
Yes. England match odds, so that's England to win in 90 minutes. So there we are. So, David, you've gone both teams to score. Jim, you've gone Kylian Mbappe to score at any time. Luke's got a sending off in the game, and I've gone England match odds, as I say, England to win in 90 minutes. A £5 bet on this popular Bet Builder will return £353.83. If we win all that money, we'll go to Prostate Cancer UK. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. Right, gentlemen, back to the quarterfinals. Croatia versus Brazil today at 3 p.m. David. Can those Croatians do it? they find a way, don't they? But surely this is too big a match for them.
I just feel the criticism of Croatia extends to, oh, wait, they're dead, aren't they? They're just finished. They can't do it, can they not? So they'll have a shit first half in this, yeah, and it'll just come out in the second.
Yeah.
Incredible. Oh, yeah, it's amazing what they keep doing. Modric, as we know as well, you know, Kovacic, I think, has been excellent. Mm-hmm. At the back, they've probably got the centre-back of the moment, Josep Guardiol.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
And he's got that intimidating mask on as well. I can see Richarlison versus Guardiol just
that's gonna be
tasty.
Yes. Needle-heavy, shall we say.
Indeed, yeah, a lot of shit-hellsery.
Yeah, very much so. I think I get the impression that Croatia love playing at international tournaments so much they deliberately take it to extra time. They're just so into it.
Yeah, we want more of it.
Like, kind of can't believe they're this good when there's about 15 of them.
They respond to criticism and being humiliated and being laughed at really well.
Yeah.
Too. Like, I've noticed that. And a lot of Brazilian fans are kind of almost saying, oh, this one's going to be easy.
Well, let's be honest. Like, if you offered Brazil a quarterfinal with Croatia, they would have bitten their hand off.
I think
that.
So.
But, as you say, the Croatians know how to kind of rally round and so on. And we saw that. I mean, they used those comments, as we said, from John Herdman of Canada, which, you know, he was on the front page of that Croatian...
Tabloid.
Definitely a tabloid. You know, so they love a bit of this against England in the last World Cup, of course, when some people suggested, oh, are they a bit tired and so on, and Bilic was there going, nah, this is nonsense. He clearly got amongst it. All right, they're saying this about you boys. You know, they're a small country. We know that, but look at their World Cup pedigree, or their international tournament pedigree since 1992.
It's remarkable. It goes underrated.
Yeah. They've performed better than England since. You know, well, I get too stat heavy, but certainly since they've been a country, since the early 90s, they've been superb. I mean, the fact is they've reached a final. Phenomenal. They're the only finalist for decades that was a surprise finalist.
Yeah.
You seldom does a small team win a semi-final.
They consistently produce incredible players.
Yeah.
Going all the way back, you know, they always bring them through. And they've got the best one of the best midfielders of all time in Modric. Mm-hmm. And they're just constantly, and Kovacic has been very, very handy. He really steps up. I think what Modric can't do anymore, Kovacic steps up to do.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Under 4 million people.
That's what I mean.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Phenomenal.
So, and when I say small team, I mean, you know,
population, really.
But also unfancied sides as well. You know, the final in 2002 was never going to be South Korea versus Turkey. Do you know what I mean? But yes, but they did look a little bit leggy, though, against Japan. Let's be honest. But they obviously won that game. Marcelo Brozovic, though, has been quite something. He broke his own record for most distance covered in a World Cup game. He ran 16.7 kilometres against Japan, which topped his 16.3 kilometres against England in 2018. So all the running is on him.
These are the tired guys, right?
He's got a bomb tattooed on his neck.
He does,
I'm not going to say anything bad about him.
Yeah, no, we respect him. We love him. We take our hats off to him, definitely. But, I mean, that is phenomenal stuff, you know. And that's what I mean, that sometimes with the teams, if you do have one or two runners in there, we spoke about Argentina with this sort of thing as well, that you have a guy who's doing that, then you've got half a chance.
I think Brazil are there to be got at as well. I've said this before, I think, on the show about the fullbacks as well need to be tested. And if you've got Perisic just making those runs that he does, getting in the box, making the right decision, then it could make things really interesting. So they've got the players to do it, yeah.
They do, yeah. But so do Brazil, though, Jim.
They're quite good, aren't they, is what we've seen so far. They were absolutely phenomenal the other night.
Yeah. What did you think of, before we get the football, obviously we're big fans of animal pitch invasions here. Mm-hmm. We did a whole podcast dedicated to it. What about the press conference with Vinicius? He was interrupted by a cat appearing on the table, and the chap sat next to him just seemed to pick up the cat and throw it off the table.
It can happen. My flat appears to be some sort of social club for cats. They just come round when they feel like it.
Okay. Do you remember that woman who put the cat in the bin?
Yeah, do you remember when that was the news?
Yeah.
It was a better time, wasn't it?
Not
for the cat in that but
you're right, it was. Because the cat was okay.
The cat was okay in the end. Yeah. Cat in a bin, woman. If you're not from England... We're a weird little island. Google it. But yeah, it's really bizarre. How did the cat get into this press conference? What's really lovely about it is Vinicius, he's just laughing the whole way through. He's trying to keep answering his question, but he's just breaks out into a big grin. But like the guy presumably from the Brazilian Association, just chucks the cat away.
It's crazy.
And clearly there's some sort of reaction to it. He's like, what? It's got got nine lives.
By the way, as loath as I am to go back to a very, very sort of pedantic point, you know, the island is Britain. I'm just, because of my quiz question the other day.
Fair enough.
People are out to get us.
Yes.
And I should have stipulated in that quiz question that obviously Gibraltar's not a nation, so it doesn't count as a country bordering Spain.
Thank you for covering my back there.
That's all right. We're here to do that for each other, I feel. If there's a cat on the desk, Jim, I will...
I apologise to Scotland and the other one.
That's your bed. Oh, dear. If there's a Welsh cat on the desk, I will throw it off for you, Jim. Don't worry about it. Of course, Brazil had a lovely old time against South Korea, David. So 4-0 up at halftime. They were dancing, much to the ire of some pundits around the world. Vinicius, responding to that criticism, said, "We still have many other celebrations to do."
Come on!
I love that.
He has put rocket fuel into Brazil. And they don't lack for that in the first place.
Yeah. May we keep playing well and dancing a lot so we can get to the end of the World Cup in that rhythm.
If Brazil stopped dancing after goals, that would be so lame. Like, what is wrong with Roy Keane?
But that is a cultural thing. Totally. Don't love a dance.
It's a cultural part of the World Cup as well. Like, remember the famous Bebeto baby celebration in 94. Yeah, it's like
the Colombians like to dance in, would it have been 2014, I think? James Rodriguez scoring all those goals.
Don't know what you're doing dressed as a big bird there. Just watch the game properly. Just enjoy the joy.
When I interviewed former Scotland international Kevin Gallagher, who played against Brazil in the 98 World Cup, he said that story, which I've told on here before, excuse me, but I'll tell it again, damn it all, because it seems relevant. He said before that 98 World Cup final opening game, it was Brazil v Scotland, because they used to do, some of them would do the holders playing first rather than the hosts. Because nowadays it's usually the host that play. And because of the opening ceremony taking ages, they were not given the warm-up time on the pitch that they wanted and needed, which is mad if you think about it. But, you know, it's the World Cup, it's FIFA, the pomp and all the rest of it. So what they were doing is the Scotland players were kind of doing shuttle runs in their trainers up and down the little corridor, which would lead out to the tunnel before the game. And when you get to the end of the corridor, you could see through, there's a little portal kind of window that you could see through to the next one, and they could, when you got to the end of it, you could see some of the Brazilians there. And I said, "Oh, were they doing little shut runs?" And he went, "No, they were just dancing."
I love it. Not even for TikTok either. It was just living in the
that's
moment.
That's what I mean. That's
not
just
a fawn inside.
It's what they do. Exactly.
Pure joy.
Yeah. We're about to play football, lads. This is amazing.
How is it that is so intimidating?
Get that cat out of here. What? I know. It really is. It shows you the confidence and so on, despite there being huge pressure on them. But there we are. But Richarlison, though, we mentioned him earlier, David, how does his role differ for Brazil compared to Everton versus Spurs? Because we often see him sort of coming in more from the flanks for those sides. But Brazil, he seems to be like their number nine.
He's their pure nine, definitely. Mm. They've got players who can stay on the flanks and also do a better job, I
think.
They're
stacked in those areas.
Yeah, exactly. I think at Spurs and when he was at Everton as well, he was more of a workhorse down the flanks. Mm, now, yeah. Brazil's flank players are more style. Mm-hmm. As we've seen with Vinny, as we've seen, you know, with anybody who crops out there, Rodrigo's come on, I thought to a great effect as well. Anthony as well came on, so they've got a lot of options.
Neymar.
Yeah, Neymar. They've got a lot of options in wide areas. So his job is solely to be that focal point, hold that nine position. I don't know, Roberto Firmino used to play it as well, but mm-hmm. I think Richarlison does way, way better. He's a bit more of a ruthless finisher, but also he can do the hold-up play, and he's got a lot of skill as well. A lot of people forget.
But do you think Brazil were crying out for a number nine, really? You think about it, because Gabriel Jesus was touted for that, but he said to Chichi, he was like, I think I'd rather play on the wing, and Tichy was often said, hang on, there's a lack of confidence here. Now, obviously, it's sad that he's got his injury and so on, and he has played his part, but talking about, you know, in a year or two ago, whenever it was. And he seemed to kind of almost like not want that sort of responsibility. He preferred to be out in that flank. Whereas Richarlison clearly is not struggling with any kind of confidence issues. He's thinking, hang on a minute, if I want to play out wide, there's probably no room for me. Right, give me the number nine shirt and I'll go straight down the centre for you.
It's an interesting option for Conte. Obviously, he'll be very well aware of Richarlison's qualities and what he can bring to different positions. But it does, it looks like they've got a deputy for Kane right there if he picks up an injury at any point. Shift him in a bit and off he goes.
Very true. The aforementioned Neymar, of course, scored on his return to Brazil in their starting 11 against South Korea, which was good to see, I think. He's one goal short of matching Pelé's Brazil record of 77 goals for his country. I find that incredible, Jim, because obviously Neymar's been a huge player for them. But when you're reminded of that, you think, bloody hell, he's actually been...
He's really delivered as well.
Well, he has. And I mean, that stat is absolutely incredible. So you've got to be careful, Croatia, you know, because he's quite handy. Now, Croatia manager Zlatko Dalic said that he said Brazil are the most powerful side and the best national team at the World Cup. When you look at their selection of players, their quality, skills and value is indeed terrifying. I think we have a great exam ahead of us. I love how he worded that.
Yeah.
A great exam. He did also add that it wouldn't be a huge upset if Croatia won.
Yeah, just filling the boys with confidence.
Yeah, they weren't in the final last time, were they?
No, exactly, yeah.
David, Ivan Perisic became the fourth player to score in the last three men's World Cups, including this one, joining Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi and Shaqiri.
Yeah, it's an esteemed list, I think.
What do you think of old Perisic? Is he still... I mean, he's not... Well, do you know what? I was about to say, has he got the legs? But here I go. Here we go again, talking about Croatia playing into the hands. That was a great header he scored against Japan.
Yeah, he's a problem. Honestly, he's a problem because I think he's quite deceptive because sometimes he can look out on his feet and dead and people's like, oh, Perisic has finished, my God. You know? And then suddenly he'll just burst from that flank into the box and he's doing things. So yeah, he's a problem. He's one of the, you know, the elder statesmen of that squad who can't be ruled out.
He's a clever player, isn't it? So we're talking about Messi doing the same thing earlier. It's, you know, for some reason, if Perisic does it, it's because he's knackered. If Messi does it, it's because he's a genius.
That's good. Yeah. Spoken like a true Piers Morgan fan. any predictions on this one, Jim? You think Brazil?
It's got to be Brazil, isn't it? Yeah, I think Croatia will give them a game. I don't think they're going to get thrashed.
But you're going for the non-upset option.
I remember saying before the semi-finals of the 2014 World Cup that we're unlikely to see any thrashings at this point. So who you can't rely on what I think.
Okay, what do you reckon, Dave?
Brazil 3-1 in normal time.
There you go. I love that. Love that prediction. All right, everybody. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Tomorrow, On the Continent is back to review those juicy quarterfinals. And before that, Luke and I will be back in your ears today to preview England versus France. So that's two episodes coming at you like Cleopatra. Luke and I on Friday afternoon and then On the Continent on Saturday after the first pair of quarterfinals. There we are. We're looking forward to it, everybody. Fingers crossed for those three lines. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, David Cartledge.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good weekend. Up the England.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.